Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Zion, Chapter 7. This perek continues in the direction that has been building in the Sefer. In this perek, Yechezkel moves from addressing inanimate objects to addressing the Jewish nation in exile. This perek moves on from convincing those in exile that a famine and siege is coming to preparing the nation for the day of horror when Nebuchadnezzar attacks. Yechezkel is about to tell his nation something that is incomprehensible, for which they have no context. He describes it with a finality and with explicit detail, so they understand he is not speaking in euphemisms or exaggerating. This perek is also full of poetic terms, alliteration, and wordplays to heighten the emotion of the words and to lend a ferocity and pace to the text. What Yechezkel is speaking about is indescribable. Poetic devices help to communicate more than simple prose could. You may want to read this perek out loud to capture the sound, rhythm, and rhyme that adds so much to the message. Whereas Yirmiyahu's mission, convincing the Jews to change in Israel, was never successful, Yechezkel has some success in his mission here. Until now, the refugees have refused to settle in Bavel, believing they will return to Israel and Yerushalayim imminently. Here, as Yechezkel crushes their hopes for a quick end to their exile, he helps the people pivot to a new reality so that they can change their mode of service to God to fit a life of exile. Only by moving them to accept their new reality can the Jews of Bavel learn new techniques to remain faithful without the Beis HaMikdash. In this parak, Yechezkel is focusing on the end of the battles with Nebuchadnezzar. His march is not an arbitrary political upheaval. The intensity, timing, and scope of the punishment is so severe that it can only be deemed supernatural. In the Tochacha, Moshe warns that the Jews should not relate to Hashem Bekeri casually. As we read about in Sefer Melachim, the overwhelming majority of kings ignored all spiritual guidance and instead focused on economic, political, and military solutions to their problems. As a result, in this parak, we see Hashem removing his protective shield that had insulated the nation from harm. They are now left to being treated Bekeri, and they are no match for the empire that will sweep through their land. The Das Mikra outlines the structure of the perek, which helps us understand the flow and progression of the events listed. Psukim Aleph 3 Yud Gimel, verses 1 to 13, provides a general description of the ends and the destruction that will ensue. Psukim Yud Dalet 3 Yud Tes, verses 14 through 19, discuss the military conquest and downfall of the land of Israel. Psukim Chaf through Chaf Dalet, verses 20 through 24, speak about the desecration of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Psukim Chaf He through Chaf Zayin, 25 to 27, speaks generally about the horror at the end of this time. Let us examine how the Navi describes the horror in this parak and begin to comprehend what the loss of the Beis HaMikdash meant to the land and its people. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. The pasuk ends with the word Lamar, saying, which means that the message that the Navi had received was meant to be repeated. Only a Nevuah that a Navi received and was told to explicitly repeat could be repeated. Here, Hashem told him that this message was to be passed along to the whole nation. No one would be left in the dark as to what would be happening in 5 years' time. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Ketz, baha ketz, al arba kanfos haaretz. An end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. The Malbim tells us that there were two converging ends coming into the land, hence the word ketz being repeated twice. One was the end of the other nations in the region, and the other end was the end of Malchus Yehuda. Nebuchadnezzar was sweeping up the whole region in his military campaigns. At the time, when Hashem had reached his limit of overlooking Yisrael's sins, the military campaign, begun in the other lands, overpowered Israel. This end came from the four corners of the earth to sweep away Israel. The Das Sofer interprets the idea of four corners differently and says that it is talking about the land of Israel. While in a regular battle, some portion of the land will remain unscathed, here, after this war, not a single village remains. Haketz, the end, tells us of the precision of the timing here. Rashi tells us that the Torah warns in Sefer Dvarim that if the Jews ignore their mission in Israel, v'noshamtim ba'aretz, and they would grow old and complacent in the land, they will be destroyed. The gematria of the word v'noshantem, they will grow old, is 852. There is an 852-year limit to how long the nation can ignore Hashem's laws. Instead of waiting the full 852 years, Hashem brought the end in the year 850 to save the Jewish people from complete destruction. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ushifatich kidrachayich, v'nasati alayich es kol tovasayich. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will bring upon you all your abominations. Listen to the rhythm and the rhyme in this pasuk. The Jewish nation is being swept along to an undesirable end. The Malbim explains why the nation was judged harshly for their derech, their path, and for their tovah v'sayach, their abominable actions. The derech of a person is their worldview, their character and the personality that they choose purposely and thoughtfully. The Jewish people's derech was corrupted and irredeemable. Some sins are driven by lust. At other times, a person makes choices because he is choosing to do evil. The Jewish people fell in the second camp. They weren't driven by anger or negative inborn personality traits. They corrupted their nature and their philosophy and were therefore guilty of toivos, abominable things that arose from their twisted ideas. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. The Malbim further explains that Hashem won't be chas, spare, because they are not useful. He won't have pity, chemlo, on them because they have no innate goodness that would cause him to spare them. Because of their choices, their derech, and their toevos, Hashem will not spare them, nor will he have a feeling to pity them. Rav Breuer points out, as he has in each of the prakim, that we should pay attention to the names of Hashem that are used in each of the psukim. In this pasuk describing the punishment, it uses the name of Hashem that connotes compassion. Even if Hashem is no longer going to ignore Israel's sins and they will now have to face full consequences, he has never been closer to them. His punishments are coming from love. Rav Moshe Eisman, in his masterful commentary to Yecheskel published by Art Scroll, develops this idea. He cites the Gemara in Bava Basra, where it describes that when the Jews acted properly, the Kruvim on top of the Aron, on top of the Holy Ark, would face each other. When the Jews sinned, the Kruvim would turn away from each other, and it was considered a miracle that they would move based on the behavior of the Jewish people. In Gemara Yuma 54b, it describes what seems to be a contradiction to this statement. When the conquering armies entered the Kodesh HaKadashim, the Holy of Holies, with the Aron and the Ark, they found the Kruvim embracing each other. If Hashem was allowing destruction to come into the Beis HaMikdash because of the people's sins, shouldn't the Kruvim have been turned away from each other? The love that existed between Hashem and his nation when they listened is the love that is driving Hashem to punish them now. Hashem was never closer to the Jewish people than at this moment of punishment. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Ra'a achas, ra'a, hine ba'a. An evil, a singular evil. Behold, it comes. This ra'a achas, the singular evil, is unique in all of history. It's like a nuclear bomb. There's no warning, no buildup. It's just the complete annihilation of society. When a person would get sara'as, or all punishments, during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, first it would go on property, then on clothes, before reaching the person himself so he would have time to do tshuva. Here, the bad is delivered to all areas, so there is maximum pain on all areas of a person's life. Moreover, this bad is not trying to get people to improve. This is the judgment day, where Hashem is paying back Rasha'im, those who are evil, for their evil ways. And what is this unique bad that will be worse than any other bad experienced before? Rashi tells us it is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that is fast approaching. Lest the nation not open themselves up to the message, Yecheskel continues to hammer the lesson home. In Psukim Vav and Zion, verses 6 and 7, he tells the nation that they may feel like they are in the middle of a long night, hoping that when they awaken, things will get back to normal. However, daybreak will not provide them with relief as it has in the past. Instead, the dawn and the morning will solidify their hopeless position. Pasuk Vav, Kates ba, ba ha kates he kits elayach, hine ba. An end has come, the end has come, it awakens against you, behold, it comes. These words, with their alliteration and repetition of sounds, are meant to shock and convince the still skeptical nation that the end is coming now. The threats and the siege are not meant to get them to do tshuva. They are a precursor to being completely decimated. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Atah mikarov eshpo chamasi alayach. Now, imminently, I will pour my anger on you. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, repeats similar ideas to those already shared. We hear Yecheskel drilling this idea without swaying from his message. There is no hope. What is the goal of this punishment? The end of Pasuk Tes, verse 9 tells us, V'yadatem ki ani Hashem makeh, and you will know that I am Hashem, the one who smites. Until now, the Jewish people have always been able to negotiate their way out of a problem. Hashem has always forgiven them at the last moment. Here, Hashem is relating to them as a makeh, one who strikes and punishes, just as he did for the generation of the Mabul, for the flood, for the Dor HaFlaga, the generation with the Tower of Babel. At a certain point in this world, there is reward and punishment. Ani Hashem makeh, I am Hashem who punishes. The psukim intensify. Pasuk Yod, verse 10. Hine hayom, hine ba. Behold the day, behold it comes. There is a movement, a quickening, as the day comes when the rod that is being wielded to exact punishment, the rod of Nebuchadnezzar, is coming to full strength. Pasuk Yod Aleph, verse 11. This pasuk has many different interpretations. Rashi explains that the nation engaged in the practice of chamas. They cheated each other in ways that never had any legal recourse. Chamas destroys the fabric of society. In the time of Noah, we find that Hashem ignored their many sins until he can no longer ignore them because of the chamas, the injustice in this society. In Israel too, no one in society, not the leaders, not the laymen, or any of their children or grandchildren, cared to fix this problem. They had no desire to introspect and improve. Once this rot had taken hold of a society where injustice and dishonesty is pervasive, and there is no recourse to solve it, only destruction can restore it back to its godly mission. Now, the chamas that the powerful in Israel has inflicted on others is now the rod which will serve to punish them. Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, verses 12 and 13. Once again, Yechezkel comes to communicate the finality of this destruction. When someone sells their land because they need the money, the sale is tinged with sadness. The purchaser is happy because they made a good deal. With the end coming, the roles are reversed. The buyer shouldn't be happy and the seller shouldn't mourn. They will both be exiled soon, so there is no value to owning property for which they will never return, and no sadness for making money from a hopeless cause. This has concluded the overall summary of what will happen. Now Yechezkel describes the particulars of what the end will look like. Pasuk Yud Zalid, verse 14. They have blown the horn and have made all ready, but no one goes to battle. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, we had the impression that the leaders were very interested in making war, and Yirmiyahu tried to discourage them from doing so. Here, it seems like the leaders were blowing the shofar to gather troops to fight against Nebuchadnezzar, and the common people were not joining in the fight. Why were they not responding? The pasuk tells us that part of the punishment that was that Hashem made them all so frightened that they couldn't defend themselves. They would rather die a painful death in famine than a swift death in war. In either case, in this war, they will all die. As we have heard before in the previous prakim, pasuk tezvav, verse 15, he who is in the field will die by the sword, and he who is in the city will be devoured by famine and pestilence. In Psukim Tezayin and Yodzayin, we hear about the refugees and their sense of devastation and fear as they are homeless and hiding from the enemy. In Pasuk Yud Ches, we learn that they are ashamed, expressing grief and mourning and how they act. Finally, we hear about what will happen to all classes of society. In Pasuk Yud Ches, we learn that they no longer want their money. The rich, in many wars, can buy food with their money, but in this war, there is no money available for anybody to buy. They realize that their pursuit of money led them to sin. The Malbim adds that those found with gold and silver were often punished and tortured, so they tried to rid themselves of their money before it could cause them problems. The parak continues to climb in intensity, where we reach the ultimate devastation. Pasuk Chaf Utsvi Edyo Lagaon Samahu, and as for the beauty of their ornament which was set for our pride, Vitsalme Soavasam Shikutsehim Asubo, they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things thereof. To quote the Das Sofrim, there may not be another verse that expresses in such noble terms the affection and glory bestowed upon the children of Israel via the Holy Temple, end quote. The Beis HaMikdash was the Tzvi Edyo, the most magnificent of Israel's ornaments, and we still cherish its remnants until this day. Despite it being a majestic symbol at times in history, the kings defiled it by placing in it idols. As a result, Al-Kain Nisativ Lehem Lenida, therefore I have made it to them an unclean thing. the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and the nation sent a far distance from it. At this time, Yirmiyahu is trying to warn the Jews in Yerushalayim about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He compares it to Shiloh, which was destroyed. The people in Israel would not accept this reference to any destruction. It is left to Yechezkel to be explicit and harsh in his words to describe the destruction of their most treasured place. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Unisativ biyad hazarim levaz, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for prey. The armies will take away all of the valuables there, and once they despoil it, they will transform those items that were kadosh, holy, into something that is halal, devoid of any holiness. In truth, though the armies will march in Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, they are attacking an abandoned shell. Hashem will remove himself from the Mikdash before the enemies enter, and before they can desecrate it. V'hasibosi b'hanai mehem v'chilulu esifuni. I will turn my face from them, and they shall profane my secret place, meaning the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The events in this parak are chronological. First, there is a siege, which ends in a battle, with people dying in the city and on the battlefield. Once the city walls are breached, Tzidkiyahu flees to the hills like a dove hiding in the mountain crevices. Then, the nation remaining tries to rid itself of its gold, the enemy takes spoils, and then in the fourth month, in Tammuz, Hashem turns away from the Beis HaMikdash. This is different than the hiding of his face, which we've heard about before. Here, Hashem's Shekhinah departs the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Shekhinah is gone, the nations are able to come into the shell of the building that is left, and they profane the place that had been the Holy of Holies. We hear in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, that the nation is then led away in chains as a punishment for their sins. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, Ve'vesi ra'ei goyim, and I will bring the worst of the nations. The worst of the nations will descend on Yerushalayim, and they will take over the homes of Bnei Israel and the Beis HaMikdash. In the last three Pesukim, we once again read the poetic language indicating the finality and intensity of the punishment that is coming. Pasuk Chafhei, Kafta Ba, Uvikshu Shalom V'ayin, a cutting off comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Like a tsunami with wave after wave relentlessly pounding them, hova al hova tavo, happening upon happening will come. Each tragedy will follow quickly on the heels of the previous ones without time to recover. In addition to actual events, the nation will be subject to anxiety, brought about ushmua al shmua tiyah. There will be rumors upon rumors, some true, some false, but the constant news will be jarring and exhausting to an already traumatized and beaten nation. Even worse, as the nation tries to make sense of what is happening with the Mikdash to ground them, they will have no leaders to turn to. They will not have a Navi, they will not be able to learn Torah from a Kohanim, they will not be able to seek advice from their elders. Their political leaders, their kings, and their Nisiyim, their princes, won't be there either. Everyone will be confused. There will be nothing left, not a land, no money, no glory, no leadership. And through this, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, Bnei Israel will learn that I am Hashem. These four important words that end the parak are the only words of hope in the parak, full of harsh messages meant to break the spirit of those who listen to them. There is no hope. Things are changing. The end is coming. The Jewish nation, after hearing these words, will now be prepared to hear the next four prakim that describe Hashem's leaving the Beis HaMikdash, and they can now begin to accept their new reality so that they can thrive in their new lands. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmas Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.